What would immigration reform mean for your paycheck?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will be in Las Vegas today unveiling his plan for immigration reform. Yesterday, a bipartisan group of senators released their proposal, and it's expected that both plans would provide a pathway to citizenship to millions of immigrants who are in this country illegally. So what kind of effect would that have on wages in America? Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Critics conjure up images of a flood of immigrants willing to work for less, but some experts don't expect much of any downward pressure on paychecks. The reforms would largely affect immigrants who've been here for decades.
Once you wait long enough, the economy has already adjusted.
Pia Arrhenius has studied the effects of immigration on wages. She's senior economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Besides finding minimal impact on low-skilled Americans, she says highly sought-after engineers and other skilled immigrants can actually spur wage growth at the companies that hire them.
For example, if you bring in more technically trained immigrants, well, then the more generally trained native-born worker might move into a management or supervisory position.
Professor Raul Hinojosa studies immigration at UCLA. He says the last big reform during the Reagan administration brought higher wages across the board as immigrants became less vulnerable to being exploited.
You allow workers to have more rights, their wages go up, and we all end up winning.
Hinojosa contends that immigrants can be the rising tide that lifts all boats. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Research in Motion is set to release its new BlackBerry 10 tomorrow, and the stakes could not be higher for the company. BlackBerry's once dominated the U.S. smartphone market, but now they have just a 10% share. Marketplace's Queena Kim reports.
If the BlackBerry saga were a movie, it could be Rocky II. RIM spent years developing the BlackBerry 10, and the company's comeback is riding on its success. Philip Redman is an analyst at Gartner. He's seen the 10, and he says it's a lean, mean smartphone machine.
The new BlackBerry is, the screen is very reactive. It's easy to use. It holds its own to any of the best smartphones that are out there.
Redman says the 10 actually rivals the iPhone 5. So does BlackBerry have a chance of regaining its title? Probably not, says Rocky Agarwal. He's a consultant for Redesign Mobile. He says great hardware isn't enough.
The problem with mobile is that you've got an ecosystem problem. You need to have apps. That's what people care about.
BlackBerry says it has about 70,000 apps, but the iPhone has more than a million, and Android is catching up. With the smartphone market expected to hit 2 billion users in 2015, Agarwal says if BlackBerry can get a sliver of that, it'll stay in the ring. It'll just have to compete as a lightweight. I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.4% in Tokyo, down 0.4% right now in Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 14 points to close at 13,881.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
There is a new documentary airing tonight on PBS about one of the most successful businessmen in the history of this country, Henry Ford. His Model T revolutionized middle-class life in America a little more than a century ago. Sarah Colt wrote, produced, and directed tonight's episode of American Experience about Henry Ford, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And I want to say that as I watch this film, I can't help but compare Henry Ford to Steve Jobs, because he's not just a businessman. He is a guy that really got the American consumer in a very unique way.
Well, that's so funny that you say that, because I have to say, you know, Henry Ford, I really worked very hard to try to understand. And so actually, as part of my process, I ended up reading the biography of Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson. In some ways, I see it as they're both visionaries. Henry Ford very early on has this vision that the car can be made sturdy enough and cheap enough to be sold to a much larger percentage of the population than just the top, you know, 1%, the wealthiest.
One of the amazing things about Henry Ford, who was at the time one of the most powerful businessmen in America, is he despised the wealthy and hated the people that invested in him. I want to listen now to historian Douglas Brinkley. This is from your film.
He never wanted to be part of the social elite. He didn't want to interact with Biff and Buff and know the Rockefellers. And he did not care an iota for those people. What he cared about were the fellow people who could talk machinery with him.
Now, what was that about?
Well, so Henry Ford, you know, hadn't completed more than eighth grade in school, and he really identified with the working man. He connected with farmers and sort of people who worked with their hands. You know, he didn't like the East Coast elite. He didn't like bankers. He had an aversion to Wall Street. So he was one of the wealthiest men in the world at a certain point, but he really always wanted to be considered a working man, not a member of the elite.
What is the biggest part of Henry Ford's legacy? When we look at the cars that are on the streets today, what stands out to you as still a remnant of this guy?
You know, we live the way we do today because of Henry Ford. Cars were not going to be for the regular person until Henry Ford came along. Now, somebody else may have come up with that idea, but he really was a revolutionary, and he really changed how we live. And everything about how we live today in the United States is thanks to Henry Ford, for better or for worse.
American Experience presents Henry Ford, airs on your local PBS station tonight. Sarah Colt, filmmaker, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, to this alarming news from the National Chicken Council. There may be a shortage of buffalo wings for the Super Bowl. Apparently, the drought last summer sent feed prices higher, so farmers couldn't raise as many chickens. As a result, according to USA Today, 12.3 million fewer wings will be available. I'm guessing this is going to be welcome news to the pizza industry. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.